There's a very strange moment in Great Expectations when Pip describes his dread while he's working in the forge, that in some unlucky hour, I, being at my grimiest and commonest, should lift up my eyes and see Estella looking in at me through the wooden windows of the forge. It's strange because it seems to be autobiographical. Dickens himself, when he was a child, had worked in a blacking warehouse, and it was a cause of huge shame to him and huge anxiety later in his life. At the same time, when he wrote about that moment, the moment when he was looked at by people in the windows of Warren's blacking warehouse, sticking labels onto little bottles of boot blacking, when he spoke about it, he always describes himself as somehow separate from his fellow workers. They were common drudges, they were ordinary labourers, whereas he said, he was described by them as the young gentleman. It's as if there was somehow something intrinsically different about Dickens. Dickens thought of himself as having perhaps noble blood or better blood than the ordinary workers around him. In some ways, that cuts against his beliefs as an adult that social mobility is what's important. Getting on in life, using your own powers of intellect, of determination, of integrity, of courage, and so on, that's what matters. But then, so many of his characters, when he starts writing novels, seem to reflect his sense of himself as a young gentleman. Oliver Twist, for instance, is a little boy who seems to be utterly uncorrupted by the criminality and the dirt and the squalor and the misery of life in London in the slums. He speaks nicely, he behaves impeccably, and at the end he's rewarded with a nice middle-class upbringing and the evidence that he was indeed the son of a gentleman. Now that's a very old-fashioned view, the view that being a gentleman is something which involves birth and something which is, as it were, in your blood. A lot of other people, as the 1840s and the 1850s develop, are starting to argue that being a gentleman is not a matter of birth, it's a matter of behaviour. It's something you can aspire to and develop towards through education, through cultivating self-development, by learning how to improve yourself in your manners and in your attitude and in your principles of charity and forbearance and generosity. Self-help is a key text here. Samuel Smiles publishes that work in 1859, the same year as Darwin's Origin of Species. And whereas for Darwin, individuals are forever fighting each other and trying to get on at the expense of each other, for Samuel Smiles, you get on in life by helping other people. Self-help, then, isn't like helping yourself at the salad buffet, elbowing other people out of the way. You develop yourself through being generous towards other people. Now, we see this in Great Expectations. Joe, who is an ordinary worker, a blacksmith, ends up saving up a huge sum of money and buying Pip out of his problems. When Pip discovers this, he breaks down and says, God bless this gentle Christian man. And as readers, we might notice that that word gentleman has been split up. It's now become a gentle Christian man. And that's because for Dickens, being a gentleman and being a Christian are pretty much equivalent terms. Both involve generosity and loving kindness. Eventually, Dickens would develop a Samuel Smilesian view of self-help, self-development. So at the end of Our Mutual Friend, there's a character who says that he is a gentleman because that's the term that can be used by any other man. In some ways, Great Expectations is a transitional novel. The early novels like Oliver Twist's show gentlemanly qualities as being built in, like your DNA. The last novel Dickens writes, Our Mutual Friend, shows being a gentleman to be something anyone can aspire to, simply by the way they behave in the world. Great Expectations seems to be caught between those two different models. On the one hand, you have Joe, who is an ordinary working blacksmith, who shows that you can be a gentleman even if you're not educated, simply by being a benevolent, generous human being. Pip, on the other hand, thinks that he's become a gentleman because he's been given a large sum of money and gets good clothes and gets nicely educated. On the other hand, he doesn't seem to be terribly worried about the source of the money until he finds out that it comes from a source that is somehow tainted. In some ways, one can see the novel itself, then, as showing Dickens being unsure where one should go and how one should get there. And in some ways, that may reflect his own self-consciousness over his family. One of his sons seemed to be especially feckless, and he was trying to encourage him to develop himself, to get a good career, and was being resisted at every turn. So if Pip is somehow an autobiographical figure, he's also a biographical figure as well. He suggests anxieties that for Dickens were very close to home.